That was a lot of fun. You know, the great thing about Mother's Day 2021 is that it's not Mother's Day 2020. Amen. Because that one was not near as fun as this one. And so my name is John Abner. I'm excited to be with you this morning. Toby had to go into the bullpen twice to get to me. So you're welcome, because if I said no, he was calling you. So, and that is one of three baseball references that I'm going to make this morning, just so you know. So, let's pray. I'm going to pray for you. You pray for me, and we'll get through this together. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for allowing amazing women to be a part of our lives and to pour into us and to be an example of what it is to love well, to be an example of strength in our lives. And I just ask you, God, now that you would just give us peace, that you would allow us to learn this morning who it is that you've called us to be. I pray, God, that we wouldn't be forgetful hearers when we leave this place, and that because of the seed that you're sowing into our lives right now, that lives would be changed for all eternity. We give you all the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I, and as all of us, are on this amazing journey that we call life. And I've prayed and sometimes gotten things that I wanted or sometimes didn't get things that I thought I wanted. But all of it was so that my family and myself could be exactly who God has called us to be. Like, that's the point. That's the purpose of all of this. I don't want to be any more than God's called me to be, but I certainly don't want to be any less than who he's called me to be. And there's been times in this journey and in this process that I cared more about what was on the front than what was going on behind the scenes. I cared more or worried more about what people saw happening in my life than what maybe I was doing to prepare for that in the back. I was a mullet, so to speak. What was happening in the front was completely different than what was happening in the back, right? On the front, I was all business, and in the back, party. Okay? And listen, this is what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. It says, beware of that. Beware of the mullet. Beware of practicing, that's not what it says. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now hear me, he's not saying don't practice righteousness. The gifts of the Spirit are communal. That none of them are meant to just be held to ourselves. Think about it. What good is love if I'm not loving other people? What good is joy if they don't see that joy in my life? Or patience, or kindness, or goodness, or faithfulness, or gentleness, or self-control? They are all to be done along while we're doing life with other people. He's saying, do them, do these things. Just don't do them just so people can say, oh, look how great John is. He loves so well. People don't usually say that, but that's not the point. The point is not to be seen by others. The point is that God is doing something in us, and this is the evidence of that. Then there's other people. And we all know these people. These are the people that care more about what's going behind the scenes than they do what's going on up on stage, up in the front, up in front of other people. You've been there. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody in a small group. They just throw all of their skeletons out there. And the first time they do it, we're blown away, right? We're like, man, that person, they're so transparent. We need to pray for them. They're amazing. And then week two. And then week three. And then week 50. And then week 100, It's the same thing over and over and over again. They thrive on the attention that they get because of their issues and their struggles. And this is the reality. We all have issues and struggles, but Jesus got up from the grave so that we don't have to live life dealing with the things that are going on in our closet. The skeletons that we have. 2 Timothy says this in the Message Bible. It says, as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanders, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, I like that, addicted to lust, allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. The Bible says, stay clear of these people. Paul's not saying that we don't love people like that. He's warning us, be careful, because those people will pull you down with them. Think this thought. It is way harder for me to pull somebody up than it is for them to pull me down. And so we got to be careful around people that are more worried about what's going on in the back than they are in the front. Remember, we're trying to pour into others, and we don't have to be perfect for God to use us. And so we can't only focus on looking good, and we can't only focus on pronouncing what's happening in our closet. If we want to live these massively big lives that God has called us to live, we've got to get to the place where what's happening in the front and what's happening behind the scenes is the same. Where yes, I love. Yes, there's joy. Yes, there's peace. Why? Because I spent the time behind the scenes seeking God, praying to Him in my word, doing the things that He's called me to do. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. We want it to, but it doesn't. Prior to me saying yes to Jesus, I was 22 years old. Everything that I did was for my satisfaction, my pleasure. I was John-centric. Everything that I did, every drug I took, every thing that I did, no matter what it was to make me happy. But on that fateful day on a Sunday in that Methodist church in Russell Springs, Kentucky, when I said yes to Him, He came to dwell inside of me. And all of a sudden, not overnight, but all of a sudden, a process began where no longer was I John-centric, I was Christo-centric. Everything became about Jesus Christ, and it didn't happen quickly, and it's not over yet. Be patient. He's not finished with me yet. However, He is a finisher. He will see unto completion the work that He began in me. Praise Jesus. And He began to change me from the inside out. That's the way that it works. But it's a process. And most people, including myself, we don't want to go through a process. I don't want it to take time. We find a book and Oprah puts it on the Oprah Book of the Month. And we say, if you just read this book, it'll change your life and it'll solve all of your problems. That can't be any farther from the truth. No book will solve your problem. The only one that can do that is Jesus. Or preachers will say, if you just get this one point, it'll change your life. Why? Because we don't want to go through the steps, the training, the discipline, the discipleship. Most Christians act as though that's not even an idea that's in the Bible. But we got to learn how to embrace it. We got to learn how to accept it. Think about Paul. Early Paul's not the same as later Paul. Later Paul says that no matter where I am in life, I've learned how to be content. Paul just wasn't content. Life taught him how to be content. We all live this cycle of life that is filled with ups and downs. Paul says, I've learned how to be consistent in all of it because my God is greater than my ups and downs. And so we've got to have certain mindsets to be able to engage in the process so that when it gets tough, we don't give up. Listen, I've spent a lot of time in my life surrounding myself with people that have been through a mess in this life. You've been through death. You've been through divorce. You've beat an addiction. Those are the type of people that I want in my life, because those things don't disqualify you from ministry. That is your preparation for ministry. And what I know about people that have lost a loved one, or that have given up on something, or that have gotten through something, when it gets tough, they're not going to run and hide, because they've already been through the fire and come out the other side. Those are the types of people that we surround ourselves with. Nobody that has gone through the fire came out the other side regretting having gone through the fire. We didn't like it. It wasn't fun. It wasn't pretty. But every time our God allows us to come out better, more prepared, more ready, more called, more trained to be the man or woman that he's called us to be. So we've got to have certain mindsets to be able to engage in the process. Attitude towards the process is everything. The Bible says in Luke chapter 20, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but if it falls on anyone, it's going to crush them. And so process is coming. It can either break off the pieces in our life that God has intended it to, or it will crush us. Those are the options. And here's the thing. We must be willing to be developed rather than discovered. Being discovered never works. But we're like J.G. Wentworth. We want it now. It's mine. Give it to me. But that's not God's plan. And people say, well, if you just get this one thing, you know what I know about the people that say, if you could just get this one thing, they don't have it. That's the reality. We've got to say, God, I want you to develop me. I need you to do this, because no man or woman can do what you've called me to. And if they can, you've set your goal too low. We need him. Think about David. Jesse takes his seven sons before Samuel. And Samuel says, Jesse, I'm sorry, but it's not any of these. These aren't the ones that God's chosen. You see, those seven, they're showing up to be discovered. But it's not any of them, but the young man that's out tending to the sheep, that's singing songs to the Lord when nobody is around. That young man, the one that was more worried about being developed, he's the one that God is going to use. And even when they bring David in and they pour oil over him to be king, God still says, not yet. It's not time. There's still more process that you have to go through, young man. And what's he do? He ends up running through the empire from King Saul, still being developed into the man that God has called him to be. Romans 8 verse 29 says that for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Your predestination in Christ is to be conformed into the image of Christ. That's what he's predestined each and every one of you to walk in. But yet, when I look at the Bible and I see who Jesus is, and then I look in the mirror and I see who I am, I recognize I've got a long way to go. I'm less in the image of Christ than I am still in the image of that old knucklehead that I once was. I'm still closer to that person than I am to the one that God's called me to be. But I haven't given up yet. I haven't quit seeking him yet. Lord knows the enemy has tried, but I haven't. I'm still here. We're still standing. And when we understand that this is what God has called us to, everything changes. Hebrews 12 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those that have been trained by it. You see, there's a whole group of people that want to blot this out of the Bible because they don't want to be trained. Because it's hard, it's tough. But when we get discovered before we get developed, it leads to a train wreck, like Justin Bieber 15 years ago. And he was discovered and thrown into this life of fame, and it was a mess, y'all. But now he's had a chance to grow and learn, and he's not the same person that he was when he was discovered because he was developed. Number two. Moving on from Justin Bieber quickly. I was listening to some Bieber on my way to church this morning. I don't care what you think. You ask Bree. She'll tell you. We was rapping and singing. It was good. We must be willing to admit that our shoulders might not be ready to hold right now what God has for us. We got to be willing to admit it. Like, all right, God, I get it. I'm not ready. I can't handle what it is that you have for me yet. That's key. Yet. Because I trust you. I trust that you're going to see this thing to the end. The struggle that most go through is between where we are now and where we want to be. It's the reason young people get into debt, because we want what our parents have struggled their entire lives for. When do we want it? Right now. And you know what? There's people that are willing to give you the money to make you think you have what your parents have, but it's not. It's fake. It's not really yours. You know who it is? It's theirs. It's not yours. But we don't want to go through the process. We want it right now. And so God says, we say, I want to be there. But God, I don't want three steps. I want one step. I don't want to go through all those things. I just want it right now. But it doesn't work that way. All the great people of God, all the great people that we study about, all the great people even throughout history that we read about, they've all gone through a process. And God has whittled away at them until they get to the place where they realize it has to be all Him and none of them. And as long as we think we can do this, He's like, I got more work to do. I still got to whittle something off. I'm so thankful. I would have never said this 5 years ago. I'm so thankful for all the things that He's allowed me to go through in my life to get where I am right now. That's hard, but it's true. I've been through seasons, and Shane and Nick, they've seen it, where I thought I knew everything. And I've been through seasons where I don't know nothing. And I'm thankful for getting my rear end kicked in and humbled and having learned. There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Habakkuk. He's talking to God and he's questioning what's going on around him. And he's saying, God, if you're so good, why are you allowing these things to happen to me? And God's response to him is, write down the vision. This is Habakkuk chapter 2. You guys should definitely get a tattoo of this. No, I'm just kidding. Just don't do that. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. Just write it on your mirror with lipstick. Don't get a tattoo. Sorry, babe. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. He says, write it down, make it plain, so that whoever reads it may run after it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. So that thing that God promised you, it's not a lie. It's coming. Run after it. And then he says, if it seems slow, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. You might not have in front of you right now what God has shown you is coming, but that doesn't mean it's not in the process. That doesn't mean it's not on the way. He says, all the dreams, all the promises that I've sat inside of you, write it down. Run after it. And even though it's not here now, wait for it. Because when it comes, it's going to be better than you ever could have imagined. Just hold tight. I'm going to come through. I'm going to make sure that you get exactly what I promised you. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. This is the point of the Old Testament. This is the point of the old book. Everything that happened there was written so that we might have hope that God is in control, that God is a redeemer, and that God has a good plan for your life. Some of y'all need to slow down. Start saying no to stuff. Some of y'all are so busy you couldn't do what God told you to do if he showed up. You're like, well, God, I got to pull out my calendar. How about next Thursday? Some of y'all need to get off the couch. Some of y'all need to put your phone down. Start paying attention to that screen time thing that pops up once a week that says, your screen time was up 48% this week. Jesus. Some of y'all need to go back to school. Think this thought. Don't say it out loud. How old will you be in 4 years? Don't say it out loud. In 4 years, you're still going to be that age, with a degree or without. Make the most of your time. Some of y'all need to get creative. God's given you ability to draw, paint, write, sing, play music. You need to use that thing. Travel more. Love better. Reach out to people that you haven't talked to in a long time. I spent a lot of time with people that were in their last few minutes of life, hours or days. You know what none of them talk about? I wish I would have worked more. I wish I would have had more money. I wish I'd have bought that brand new car back in 78. None of them say that. You know what they say? I wish I'd have traveled more. I wish I'd have loved better. I wish I would have reconciled with that family member. That's what they say. They don't talk about that junk that we think we have to have. I got one for you. Remember when David was going out to fight Goliath? I'm going to preach this, Toby. You just put me on the calendar sometime. And Saul puts all that armor on him, all that brand new, good, shiny stuff. You know what David said? He said, I don't need what this world has to offer. I've got God. And you know what he did? He laid all that stuff down. So the people that are telling you you need more, bigger, and shinier, they're liars. Lay it down. You don't need any of that junk. You need God, and you don't need anything to hold you back from the plan that God has for you. Some of y'all need to figure out where your influence is. Some of y'all need to focus on your family. He is a redeemer. He has a good plan for your life. Take advantage of the moment that he's given you. Live in the now and enjoy what God has for you. Last thing. We need to learn that our influence cannot go wider than our character goes deep. There's a process that God is taking us through because he wants us to be a people of character. God knows I've learned this one. Charisma and passion will only get you so far. If there's no character going down, it will fall apart. And our charisma will pick us back up and we'll do it again and it'll fall apart again. And we keep going through this thing until we realize, I need a better foundation. If we're going to make the impact that God wants us to be, if the front part of our life is not equal to the back part of our lives, we're an accident waiting to happen. And unfortunately, people get hurt in accidents. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. God knows I would never say that. But I am saying that you have to embrace the process. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 says, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Paul says, I don't want anything that I do to be done in vain. He wants every moment of every day to be used as an impact. And he knows that the only way that that can happen is that there is going to have to be a process in the lives of God's children. It's why the psalmist says in 139 verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is anything grievous in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. So, it's Mother's Day, and this is where Debbie Evans gets to cry, to combat how bad I was. So there had to be some balance. I was really bad, so I had a really, really great mom. And I am sorry that none of y'all had as good of a mom as I did. It's just the way that God saw fit. However, what impacted me the most in my childhood, looking back, was watching my mom take a second or third job so that we could have food. Or us going to the dealership and buying a junky Buick Regal. You remember that thing with the red interior? Just and leaving as happy as could be. Listen, we're leaving the dealership in this Buick Regal. I don't know if my mom remembers this, but we're leaving the dealership. I'm in the front seat. I'm just a little kid. I'm not buckled because it's 1986. A car pulls out in front of us. She slams on her brake. We just bought this car. My head goes into the windshield, cracks the windshield on the brand, not brand new, but new to us vehicle. And we didn't have no money to change the window. As long as she owned that car, it had a cracked window. And it happened pulling out of the dealership. Not knowing how she was going to be able to buy me that baseball glove. It's hard, you know. You know, my first day at T-ball, mom didn't know. My first day at T-ball, I'm right-handed, so we got a right-handed baseball glove. I don't throw with my left hand. I can't throw because I got a glove on the hand, but she didn't know the difference, right? But then she had to find the money to buy me a glove to put on my left hand. The moves from apartment to apartment until eventually when I was in the ninth grade, buying her first house. I hated that house. Why? Because I loved apartments. Because I always had a lot of friends. You know, biggest moment of my mom's life and I'm trashing it. What are we doing? Abusive husbands, boyfriends, but her still getting up the next day and excelling at everything she did. Why? Because I needed her to. Dealing with death and loss. All to get here. Process, right? So we got this beautiful life. What we get to do and travel and watch her grandkids grow up. Thank God for grandkids, because they got to be like a little bit of payback for the hell that she went through in raising me. Process. 1975, I wasn't born yet. Carlton Fisk, Reds are playing the Red Sox in the World Series. This is my last thing. I'm landing the plane. Reds won that World Series, just so you know. Game 6, Carlton Fisk, 12th inning. Hits a home run. And it's this awesome moment in sports history. Probably like top 10 in sports history. You guys have seen the video. Carlton Fisk, or he's waving the ball fair because it's hooking. And it just slices in. Home run, Red Sox win, game 6. Like I said, Reds won game 7, don't worry. He's running around the bases. The crowd in Boston, they rush the field. He's running people over to get to home plate. And just before the ball was pitched, there was this particular cameraman that saw a rat in his camera box where he's at. Now, back then in 1975, all the cameramen were told, when the ball's hit, follow the ball. And so you move your camera and you follow the ball. But this particular guy is so focused on what's happening in his booth that he doesn't move the camera. And the result is that we get to see on film Carlton Fisk waving this ball fair. And it completely changed how they film sporting events that day because he was focused on the rat that was in his box. Angie, I'll take you back up here. One day, y'all are going to look up from the stuff that's been distracting you in this life to see this glorious thing that God has been preparing you for. See, it's not a bad thing. It's just a process. And when we embrace it, we'll find out God has so much more in store for every single one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You're so good to us. Thank you, God, for the process. Thank you, God, for mothers. Thank you, God, for my mom. God, I pray that this word would encourage us, that we'd know you're not finished with us. But most importantly, God, I pray that every man, woman, young and old would leave this place today eager for the next step, whatever that looks like. Just ready for it so that we can finish this process, this race that you've set before us, and that we could do it well, all leading to that fateful moment where we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Help us in that, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, if I could have the men that are going to receive the offering, men, women, whoever that might be, if you guys will just come on up. We're going to receive the offering. We're going to sing one more song. And then we're going to go. Last year, we ate Mother's Day dinners at home. This year, we're going to the restaurant. It's going to be great. So, about a year ago, if you would, just prepare your tithes and your offerings. This is the best I've got for offering. You ready? About a year ago, got my daughter as a debit card. And it was a great idea because they get gifts or money, you know, mainly from Gigi. And then they lose it. There's so much cash rolling around our house and wherever that is that they thought they left it, or the purses that they gave away to Goodwill. If you guys go get some kids' purses and look at them, because it's probably got my kids' money in it. Bring it back if you want. So we say, you know what, we're going to get these debit cards. And these are great cards. If they get money, I just put it on their card. If they lose their card, I can turn their card off. It tells me where they're spending it. But the reality is that most of the money on their cards came from me. Daddy. And so we're at a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and Isabella has her card, and we got some friends and family in town. And I said, "Bella, take your card and go inside and buy some chocolates for everybody." Isabella says, "That's my money." Forgetting the source of her money. Offering. It's time to give. We say, "This is my money." Not remembering who the source is. Father. And so let's give to him. Let's give freely, happily, excited to give, whatever it is that he lays on our heart. Father, thank you as we prepare. Thank you for being the source. Thank you that our gifts combine together and they allow this place that we call home to be an impact in our community, our state, and throughout the world. Allow us individually and together to be good stewards of what you have entrusted us. And God, never let us forget the source. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many members see the offering. Let's sing.